All right, so as Kurt mentioned earlier, we'll have a 3 to 4 week Sunday school study on what is a healthy church. At the outset, let me say that I will be broadly following this book. It's written by Mark Dever and it's titled, What is a Healthy Church? And there are copies of this book in the back. It's a small book. It's a short read, but it's a very effective book. Now, I don't plan to verbatim read through this thing here. You're welcome to read it at home. Neither do I plan to go through it chapter by chapter, paragraph by paragraph, following the same thing in a different set of words. So I will take some side trails here and there, and I don't plan to stick to it exactly the way he has presented it. But at a high level, I thought this provides a good structure to follow. This by no means is an exhaustive study on what's a healthy church, but I think it's a very good basic study. So let me at the outset share with you what my goals are in this. The first and foremost is that God has made us a local assembly of believers, and we do spend, Jesus is our Savior, and we are the people of God, and it's a very important topic that we know what makes a healthy church. Secondly, we spend a lot of time in the affairs of the church, and if you're spending 8 hours at work, it is good to know what's important in your workplace or with any other thing that you spend your time with. It's very, very important that we know what is a healthy church or what is a healthy church body life. Second reason for the study is we are often in the midst of conversations about people looking for churches, and maybe those thoughts come to you as well. And it's important to know, what is a healthy church? Because that's a very, very important question to answer biblically. Third reason is hopefully through this study, we will all understand how we can all be an active part of this local church body, looking at what do the scriptures say a healthy church body should be. So not only are we analyzing and deciding what we like and we don't like, but we are actually contributing actively to what God wants us to be as a church body. And fourthly, to guard ourselves and this church body from sin, from going down paths that are unbiblical. It's all our collective responsibility to do that. So those are my four goals in going through the study. Not to mention, it's actually a pretty exciting and interesting study as well. With that, let's jump in. Let me ask you a few questions up front. And you'll be tempted to answer only the questions that, as these questions pertain to you. But I wanted to think about when people go for, try to look for a church, what are some of the things that they look for? And I'm not planning to jump in and judge exactly whether that's the right desire or not. That's not the point. But what do you hear out on the streets when people talk about, oh, I'm looking for a church? What are some of the things that you hear? And it could be some things that you look for as well. What's that? Sincerity. Okay. Okay. So sincerity, you mean sincerity of the sincerity versus hypocrisy. This is sincerity of the members of the congregation. Genuine. Okay. So that congregation being genuine, sincere, and without hypocrisy. Kurt said you're interested in youth programs. No? So for now, I'm mixing them up. I'm just. So do they have a strong youth program that my children would feel included in? Sure. Yes. And Johnny, you mentioned? Okay. Do they have drums in worship? Anything else? Yes, Barbara. I heard Okay. So do I something, a church that suits me? Yes, Rob. Okay. Can you define relevant? Okay. Yes. Barbara the first, right? Thought we swapped it. Okay. Yes, Kristen. Singles group. Did he say singles group for adults or just singles group? Singles group. Okay. Sure. Okay. Did I see some other kid? Age? Okay. Okay. Same age group or same stage in lifestyle? Yes. Midweek meetings and their effectiveness. All right. Anything else? Yes.
I think a lot of people are looking for, I believe I hear, people are looking for the church being relevant in the community in terms of, as opposed to being insular and just all wrapped up in themselves, they're actually doing something. People are looking to feel as though they're making an impact. And I think they want to be with people or join a group that is making an impact.
Okay. And also another way of, another addition to that is that church really having an impact on the community? Okay. All right. Anything else you want to add? Yes, Charlie. Okay. So church that's close by. All right. Okay. So I'm going to leave this list here, and hopefully it gives you enough of those questions out there, and I'm sure when you go back home you will think about many more things that different people look for. But as we go through this study, let's ask ourselves what the true answers to those questions are. I'm not going to make a judgment right now about which of them are the right or wrong and so on. I just wanted to get a lot of these things out there, and then later as we go through scriptures, look at which of them is an important mark of a healthy church. So people do go for church shopping, and that's usually when, maybe that's too harsh a word, but that's usually when this kind of question comes up. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Sorry, I'm on the wrong page here. And read verses 12 through 14. Can somebody read 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14? Yes. All right, so the most oft-used word there is body, right? So as we are the body of Christ is the definition that is given to the church. If you will also turn with me to Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Johnny, would you mind reading that? Romans 12, verses 4 and 5.
For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another.
Yeah, so then there is this common and recurring theme of the church being a group of believers, being the body of Christ. It's interesting that when we look for churches, or when we see others look for churches, everybody is very interested in looking for a good church. There are all these words that are used. Interestingly, if you substitute the word body of Christ into these questions that we came up with, it's interesting how some of those things sound. Is this body of Christ? Do they have sincerity instead of hypocrisy? Does this body of Christ have a youth program? Does this body of Christ have drums and worship? Do I fit in to this body of Christ? Is it suitable for me? Is this body of Christ relevant? Is truth being preached in this body of Christ? Does this body of Christ have singles group? Are they all in my age group? Do they have Bible studies? Does this body of Christ, is this body of Christ close to me? Now, some of them, I saw some of you smiling and laughing because some of those questions, it sounds pretty awkward. And I would claim that when a church shopping goes on, a lot of the questions that are often asked don't jive very well with the true definition of a church, which is the body of Christ. There are some of them that really resounded well when you talked about his truth being preached. That makes sense with the rest of what we know in the scriptures, but some of them don't make sense. So why is that happening? It's happening because we have gotten into a very consumer-oriented culture, even when it comes to churches. And that's why some of these questions, when you rephrase it, so the definition of church in our subconscious minds has changed. In the New Testament times, when Paul writes, goes to a city or somebody else visited a city, well, actually, these are probably towns by modern standards, and when they try to meet with those who are part of the church, what do you think they were really looking for? Put yourself in New Testament times. Jesus is resurrected, and it's the kind of church that you see in the book of Acts, and someone is visiting town, and he is looking to be identified with the body of believers. What do you think they're looking for? When they use the word church, what did it mean to them? Nobody knows. Yes, Matt. Okay. Okay, so focus on Christ as a Savior. All right. Yes. All right. Fellowship. All right. Yes. So all these things are true, and they're looking for a group of Christians who are gathered together to worship their Savior. Do you realize a lot of the other questions went away? And it was fundamentally the body of Christ, a group of believers who were getting together. They were not looking for a building. They were not looking for a lot of the other paraphernalia that we are used to looking for. But yet, they were looking for a group of believers who were saved, they were probably persecuted. And that was the picture, and that's what people genuinely asked for in those times. I doubt if they were looking for highly specialized kind of music or children's programs or Christmas programs or dramas or skits or any of those things. When you get down to the basics, that doesn't seem to be what a church is all about. And now some of those things, including music, really enhance worship, and we can appreciate that, but the primary purpose of it is not that. So now you wind the clock back 2,000 years and see where we have come. When we think about church, or when people talk about church, it conjures up all kinds of other things. So let's go back to the scriptures and see what is a, I'm not using the word what is a good church, because that almost seems like what is a good shirt, what's a good vacation, It seems to fit very well for that. What's a good cruise? What's a good time? What's a good sushi place? It really does sound right to all those things. Since that word good has been diluted so much, and since the definition of church has been diluted too much, I hesitate to use the word what's a good church. And hence, I think the title they have put for this book and that I have copied in my studies, what's a healthy church? What's a healthy body of Christ? It actually fits very well. All this to say that under us, the platform we've been standing on has been changed. That culturally, the word church has come to mean programs and buildings, and people talk about I go to so-and-so's church, usually meaning the pastor of that church. Those are all not there in the scriptures. They talk about the church in Corinth. They don't talk about Paul's church. In fact, Paul actually scolded them for using his name next to the church. So look at where we have come in these 2,000 years. And hopefully through the study, we can look at what the Bible really teaches about this. And then, hopefully through that, we can look at ourselves and say, how do I get even more involved in this local body of believers that God has placed me in, so that in any areas where we are not fully healthy, I play that role in helping this church body to be healthy. Next question. Who should care about this topic? What's a healthy church? Is it the elders of the church? Okay.
Good.
Yes. So I completely agree with your answer. We should all care about this topic. This is not something that a senior pastor or whatever title, or an elder or a deacon or whatever title or elder board or any of those things should only care about. It's something that we all are part of the body. And the Bible clearly talks about us all having to be involved. So it is a very, very important topic for all of us, not just for the leaders that God has established for our church. Let's look at what some answers from Scripture. You think about the epistles, Paul's letters. Who are the majority of letters addressed to? Are they, most of them, addressed to the elders of the church in Corinth, elders of the church in Galatia? No? Then who is it addressed to? Yes? What's that? The elect, yeah. So that is the church. The church is the elect, yes.
It's usually the church at, so like the ecclesia, capitalized by the ecclesia. And so the ecclesia is a called out one. That's the word for church. So they're written to the church.
Yeah. So that's
sometimes they'll add, and to the elders and the deacons,
yes.
Like in Philippians, I think it's Philippians 1:1.
And sometimes he does give specific instructions to the elders or the deacons, but in most of these letters, it is directly addressed to the church at. So that's how important it is to us as a church that we really care about what a healthy church is. Will you turn with me to Galatians 1, verse 6? So Paul is addressing the Galatians, and look what he says. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Now you might wonder, how is that relevant to this at all? Paul is actually expressing astonishment at the church. Now yes, in one sense the elders have a responsibility here, but I just want to continue my earlier point that this kind of address, he's actually holding the church responsible, which is the entire body. So what's at stake here should be very, very important to each one of us, not just the leadership of the church. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm not going to read the whole chapter here, but here Paul basically addresses sexual immorality in the church. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you and of a kind that is not tolerated even among the pagans. And he goes on. Again, he's actually addressing the entire church body. He's holding them responsible. So it again ties back to the original. Most of those letters are actually directly addressed to the entire church body. So this whole thinking that the churches, these kind of responsibilities are mainly for the leaders of the church is incorrect. All of us, as the body of Christ, are responsible for it and should be responsible for it, and we all should be accountable for it. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Verse 4. So this is, you all know the story, the conversion of Saul. When Saul was struck down. In verse 4, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Who was Saul persecuting? The Christians, right? So the church. Now Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" We are the body of Christ. And that ties in with the rest of Scripture where we say we are the body. Jesus finds the church so important. He completely identifies himself with the body. That's how important this topic is of what we're going to discuss. And that's how important it is to each one of us. So is there accountability for elders? Yes, there certainly is. If you'll turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And there are various other passages that talk about how the elders will give an account of how they shepherd the sheep. Now read Hebrews chapter 10, 23 to 26. Let us hold fast the confession of a hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So here he's talking about the church, the church body, the responsibilities that we have as a church body. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So there are many, many other passages that talk about the conduct within the church body, but this is an example of what, as a church, not just the leaders of the church, we are encouraged to do. And surely as God will hold the elders of the church responsible, he will hold all of us responsible to obeying the scriptures in what he has commanded for the church. So again, to go back, I hope this plus some of the other discussion that have been outlined, it is clear that we all are responsible for it. Now you might think, isn't that obvious? Perhaps it's obvious to you, but we need to guard ourselves. Perhaps it's not obvious to those you know who might ask you the same question. And I want you to be able to be equipped to answer that question to them about whose responsibility really is. We are all responsible for it. And if that is the case, we are all responsible to understand what our roles and responsibilities are and then to work toward achieving what God wants us to do as a healthy church body. So now I plan to go through a few verses that is really a very high-level overview about what are some of the things that a church is. And then I'll just set the stage for it. We won't be going into the details of what a healthy church is, but over the next 2 to 3 weeks, I hope to go through what is a healthy church, so that by the end of it, we'll have a firm grasp on the answer to that question. But today is just setting the stage. So when you become a Christian, you are reconciled to God, and you are reconciled to a body of believers who also have been reconciled to God, and you become part of a body, you become part of a fellowship. So will you turn with me to Ephesians 2, verse 19? So let me read verses 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So as a church, we are fellow citizens of the kingdom. We are members of the household of God. So as a church, we have been made members of the household. So we are part of the family of God. So church is a family of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So we are part of the church family. Does anybody remember Acts 2:42? Kurt? I think you do. Can you quote it?
And they gave themselves to the apostles' teaching, prayer, breaking of bread,
and fellowship. Yeah. So as a church, we are not just part of the family of God, but there is a dimension of fellowship. So that's a very, very active part of what a church is. And then in these passages that we read in Corinthians, as well as Romans, as well as this passage in Ephesians 2, we are a body. And Jesse, you gave a good description of those verses that talk about the body. We are one body. And Jesus says, why do you persecute me? That's what he asked Saul. So we are a fellowship, we are a family, and we are a body. That's not the only three things that I mentioned in the scripture. There are many, many more. But at a basic level, those would be very, very important three things. And we are fellow citizens. In other words, there is a mutual aspect. Now here, well, I was about to say everybody's an American, but maybe not. But in general, I'd say majority of people living in the U.S. are U.S. citizens. So there is a shared citizenship. But you may not express it as much until you're an expat in a different country. You'll be hanging out at the U.S. Embassy whenever there's an event. Why? Because you feel, oh, let me go with some fellow Americans. Or you're cheering for your team when they're losing in ice hockey somewhere else. So in any of those things, there is that shared citizenship. So we have that shared citizenship as well. Yes. So we are part of the family of God. I would like to go back to, I'll go ahead and read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We won't read the whole passage, but if you are looking at these verses later, you can look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27. I'm going to read starting at verse 14 because we already read the first two verses. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. In other words, even if you think that you are not part of the body, if you are a born-again believer, you are a part of the body. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. So no matter what you claim, if you are one of the blood-bought people of God, you are part of the family of God. And if you are part of a local expression of believers, you are part of our family. You cannot claim out of it. You can claim that I am not a Christian and claim out of it, but you cannot be a Christian who's a lone Christian. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. In other words, your identity as a Christian is very strongly tied to your relationship and inclusion and being a part of the local assembly of Christians. I remember when we were visiting the Phillips missionaries that we had sent out from GBC Escondido in Spain, they were sharing with us that there is a local missionary in Barcelona who does not go to church at all because they don't know why they should go to church. Why they should assemble together with the local body of believers there in Barcelona because they don't see any role for that. That's directly contrary to what we discussed earlier. It's directly contrary to this. They're basically saying, I'm a foot, I'm not a hand, so I want out of the body. And they're saying, no, you cannot do that. In other words, if you are a Christian, part of that identity, you will be involved in a local church body. If the whole body were an eye, where would this be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as He chose. This also means that in our church body here, God has arranged each one of us as He chose. We all have different gifts. We all have different skills. We have different mindsets. We have different backgrounds. But we are put together, chosen by God, to fit that exact place in the body. And God did it on purpose. Sometimes you may not like another part of the body. Maybe you're a foot and you may not like what the hand is doing. But God deliberately did that so that together the sweet aroma of Christ can be shed abroad in San Diego. And that is the purpose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? Can you imagine if everybody here was just like you? I don't know about you, but I find it very scary if everybody here was just like me. But God deliberately chose people who are very different. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So you can read that, the rest of the passage, but you can see how God is putting together His jewels on Christ's bride. And He has chosen us earthen vessels, made us treasure, and He's calling us jewels and assembling the jewelry as a bride of Christ. And we can't out of it. But we should not want to be out of it. There is no reason to. That's where we belong. That's where the richness of being a child of God really is. So now, if you really think about it, from where we started about what's a good church and all the typical questions and all that, the church, some people think it's a body. You see, it's not a place. It's not a building. It's much, much richer than that. We are a people of God. We are the body of Christ. Why would we want to be a building? We are not defined by a building. There were no buildings in the New Testament church. We'd be trading down treasure for a pittance. To consider when we identify a church with a building or with even the leaders of the church who are sinful men. We wouldn't want to trade that down. Why would we trade down for a pittance? So it's a group of people. Neither is the church a spiritual service provider. It's not a drive-through car wash where we go to be entertained. Now, maybe the music might be good, which is great, as long as we can keep the focus on God. And churches might be going through phases where they're having difficulties in certain areas. But it's not a spiritual service provider either. It's not like us buying cable TV or going shopping for channels. It is a body of believers. And that is the main point of today's session, that we firmly grasp that when we come on Sundays, we are coming as a body of believers, as the body of Christ. And if we can firmly grasp that, that'll really revolutionize how we think, how we function, what we talk about. I would like to read a few paragraphs. Any other comments before I want to read a few paragraphs from this book? Anybody has anything to add? Yes, Kurt. Yes. Okay, good point. You're going to say something? Anybody else wants to add anything? Yes, Charlie, and then Barbara. So she didn't like the body of Christ, okay. Yes. Yeah, and part of, hopefully, as a result, when we go through this, we'll see that if I am part of the body, if it is so critical, then I will come and ask, how can I be here 50, I'm not using the magic number, you use the word 15 minutes, whatever the number of minutes are, so that I can actually get plugged into that role in the body that I want to be. Thanks, Charlie. Barbara, were you going to say something? Yes. Yeah, good expression of being part of the, yeah. Thank you. Also, let me read a few paragraphs and then we're done. When a person becomes a Christian, he doesn't just join a local church because it's a good habit for growing in spiritual maturity. He joins a local church because it's the expression of what Christ has made him. That identity is very locked up in that. A member of the body of Christ. Being united to Christ means being united to every Christian. But that universal union must be given a living, breathing existence in a local church. Something for you to consider. Let me read another paragraph. Except for the rarest of circumstances, a true Christian builds his life into the lives of other believers through the concrete fellowship of a local church. This is where we get enmeshed and we can't jump out. That's where Christ's love is demonstrated in an active way flowing through our life. That's how we get enmeshed. He knows he has not yet arrived. This is a Christian. He is still fallen and needs the accountability and the instruction of that local body of people called the church. And they need him. Back to what one of you or both of you mentioned. It's if you don't contribute, the body of local body of Christ is missing something. It doesn't, you do not belong to yourself. You belong to us as a body. Another interesting sentence here. Do you see it? It's right here. This is the writing style. It's right there. Right in the midst of a group of sinners who have committed to loving one another, that the gospel is displayed. It's right here amongst us sinners that the opportunity to display the gospel is clearly provided. being a Christian means caring about the life and health of the body of Christ, the church. It means caring about what the church is and what the church should be because you belong to the church. Does a particular church fail to meet your expectations in terms of what it does, as in whether or not it follows what the Bible says about church leadership? If so, remember that this is a group of people who are still growing in grace. Love them, serve them, be patient with them. Again, think of a family. But if the church has strong doctrinal problems, you have to have that addressed. But he's talking about people who flit around from church to church for years, and they've never found the perfect church yet, because there is no such thing. Christian, whether an elder or an infant in faith, would increasingly recognize your responsibility to love, serve, encourage, and hold accountable the rest of the church family. It's saying, but I also pray that you, Christian, whether an elder or an infant in the faith, would increasingly recognize your responsibility to love, serve, encourage, and hold accountable the rest of the church body. So, to conclude, we could care a lot less if the church were a building, or it belonged to the elders, or the deacons, or there were some strong personalities, or an elder board. If it were a business, if it were a party, if it were something you go shopping for, you could just drive in and drive out, and you'd be fine. But we read clearly in the scriptures today that is not the case. We should care. So it is an important one if you're a Christian. It's important to each one of you, each one of us. We are a family, a living family, a body, and a living body. The health of a healthy church depends on your health. In other words, if one of you is hurting, we are all hurting. And the scriptures clearly say that. If you are in trouble, please share that. It is our responsibility to share those burdens mutually. But the collective health of the body is not the health of your elder's spiritual walk, although that should be there, but it's the collective health of each one of us, and I mean spiritual health. And it's very, very important, therefore, that we all grasp this and then look at, therefore, how do I plug in as a member of this church body so that I can serve God in this local representation of the very body of Christ. It's a great privilege. Any concluding comments before we stop? All right. Let me just conclude with a short word of prayer. Father, we pray that in the coming weeks, as we continue to search the scriptures and learn from your word, we pray that you will make clear to us even further what a healthy church is and how you want us all to be involved. Help us, Lord, remove the scales on our eyes and grant us humility so that we may receive the word implanted. Thank you again for this blessed day, for the blessing of hearing your word preached, for all the other elements of worship. Help us to remember all that we participated in, all that we learned today, that we may practice them this coming week. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.